This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
On Joy.
We've got Matthew Wade in, one of our friends, one of Tom's acquaintances. Welcome.
Hi guys, how's it going?
Introduce him, the editor of the Star Observer.
Go for it. Lay out the red carpet, Tom.
Well, Matt, it's the beginning of the month and I can't find my Star Observer anywhere. What's happening?
So obviously in light of the news a few weeks ago that the publication went into voluntary administration.
See, that's why you shouldn't be using gold pens and gold leaf paper to write your notes, you know?
Yeah. We thought too big, like we just tried, you know, but we didn't do a publication this month because at the moment, aside from myself, no one else is actually working for the publication. So for the last few weeks while we've been in administration, I've been technically like employed by the administrator just to kind of keep online stuff happening, but there hasn't been a magazine, so hopefully
we haven't lost it yet.
We have not lost
the Star Observer yet. There's people looking at it.
Yes.
I mean, Mikey and I have been taking a collection around this town.
Yeah. Certainly have. Hey, if you're the only person in the office at the moment, is it a bit lonely? Is it just you just sitting there in a big, how does that work?
Well, yeah, well, I say that again.
You're the only, like, literally the only person?
Yeah, the only staff member at the moment, yeah. Aww. So I guess, yeah.
And as the editor, you used to have minions to boss around. You know, get your coffee, rub my feet, you know. That's what are you doing now?
I know. Just each day I've just been trying to push out as many articles as I can just to make sure that the wheels keep turning and everything keeps happening. But I think about a week ago, the bidding for the business closed. So basically before that, a number of interested parties put in bids that were interested in acquiring the business. And I think that shut off early last week. And so what happens now is, and I believe it actually might be tomorrow, all of the business's creditors, I guess who the business owes money to, get to vote on like a short list of people that have bid. And that doesn't decide, that's not the final deciding factor, but that will influence,
then
I guess, the administrator's decision. So the administrator provides who they think should be the winning bidder, but then also the creditors get to have their say as well.
And what can we do to help you guys get there?
Honestly, I know it sounds trite and a bit silly, but like just read our content. I mean, the same with Joy. The thing is, if people aren't listening to the station, if people aren't reading our articles, then it makes it harder for people to advertise with us. It makes it harder for, you know, us to be seen by a wider audience. So our figures weren't bad previously, but I guess particularly now and once someone has taken over the business, people sharing our stuff.
And things like, go to Facebook. All the socials, you can follow the Star Observer on there. Look, it's been really good to see, even though you might not have a magazine out this month, there's still a lot of important issues that are happening out there in the world, so you have still been writing articles. Is that the
solid
right word?
So it's been, like you mentioned before, like, previously it would be like myself and my team kind of like putting everything together, but I've been writing solo for the last few weeks, which has been a bit interesting, but again, I'm optimistic that after this process is over, a worthy candidate will have acquired the business, and I hope, and this is something that I'm not sure of yet, that whoever does ultimately get the business wants to retain it as it is, because obviously once someone's got the business, they can do whatever they want, but I'm hoping they want to keep it as it is as a community news publication.
Because we've still got a lot of struggles to fight.
Well, exactly.
We've still got a long way to go, and we've got the government back in. We're going to have the whole religious freedom thing that we'll probably all be fighting very shortly. I think we'll be shocked to see what's going to happen out of that.
And a few people mentioned this when we first went into administration. Sorry, just piggybacking off of that. A lot of these main kind of issues like religious freedoms, of course, they're being shared quite widely beyond queer media, so we're
but incorrectly.
Well, it's just not in the same way, I guess. And I would say to our readers or even Joy's listeners that I guess when it comes to queer news, rather than sharing or engaging in a mainstream outlet, it's important to engage with like a podcast from Joy or an article in Star Observer.
Of course. Now, really quick for audiences and people out there like me that don't know religious. Free? What are you talking about?
Well, let's think about the whole footballer guy who's just been sacked from
Israel Folau.
So it's going to be to do with that. You can discriminate against people on the grounds of religion.
Okay.
So at the moment, discrimination laws and there's religious laws, there's a lot of crossover and no one really knows where the law stands.
Well, yeah.
And that's why we've had an inquiry last year where a Rudd guy did it and they've kept it secret from us. Since about the beginning of the year, the report's been there of what they think should happen, and it's about giving religion more power.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the report that the Philip Ruddock review actually found in our current legislation that there are a lot of, there's a lot of leeway for people to discriminate on the basis of religion. So I think that's going to be the next big fight.
I didn't actually notice on your Facebook page yesterday, there was a very good article about young people are actually calling for maybe, we're talking about the old safe schools, which we once would have known it as.
Yeah. Yeah. So Minus 18 released a report this week called The Young and Queer Report. And basically, last year, I'm not sure if any of our readers would be aware, but late last year, they held like this kind of festival called the Queer Ideas Festival, and it brought together about 120 LGBTIQ youth leaders to Federation Square in Melbourne. And they basically brainstormed all the kind of main issues facing them specifically and then suggested solutions to them. And I guess this report is kind of the baby of that festival. So in the report, there are 16 kind of issues, so to speak. And then under each one, they've suggested reasons of how to tackle, reasons of ways to tackle them. And the main one overwhelmingly was inclusive sex education in schools. So that seems to be the kind of main, the top priority for young LGBTIQ people.
Okay.
Yeah.
But we all know that as queer people ourselves, that to have an education system that supported in taught you, only makes healthier adults.
Yes. A lot of counterpoints for this one, not that I share the beliefs, is that you might be overwhelming kids with information from a young age.
Well, no, there's a limit. You don't get a second-year-old thing and, you know, pull out a cucumber and show them how to pull on a condom. That's for older, so sex education starts at their level.
In high school, I think that the people that were speaking about this, they're all teenagers in high school, so I imagine they were probably referring to, like, health class in high school when you learn about the reproductive system and, like, safe sex, but it always is very heterosexual kind of oriented.
Okay.
In terms of the solutions, I guess, one thing that they kind of highlighted with inclusive sex education is they suggested that it should be standardized through all schools, because I guess at the moment, depending on which school you go to, you're kind of at the whim of that
curriculum. Which depends on what state.
Yeah.
Then it goes on who owns your school, whether you're a private estate or a Catholic school.
Well, okay. they even suggested that it might even be good if it was taught by an external provider, funded by an external provider, to make sure that everyone that's learning about sex education in any school, anywhere, is getting the exact same tutelage, because I guess, you know, in one school, like you just mentioned, you might be getting a quite conservative straight view, whereas another one you might be getting something more inclusive, and it should be standardized, is what they're
like. Happy Healthy Harold, didn't we all get that at school?
I got that.
We
went around to
everybody's school. We should have the same thing, a caravan of gays, the queer caravan has arrived.
That's good.
Okay, no, that makes sense to me. Yeah.
So yeah, that's kind of been the main news item this week. I think it's nice because obviously a lot of legislation that gets debated in Parliament about young people in particular doesn't involve young people. So this one actually, the government funded the event last year. So they're kind of wanting to hear from young people about what's important to them and how they think it should be solved.
Sure, we love hearing from young people as long as they're on agreeing with me and they don't rock the boat.
What's interesting to me is when you hear about the safe schools debate and a lot of people, you know, throwing their two cents into the ring, you never hear about it from the perspective that you've just shared with me, that you're learning about sex but from the LGBTQI+ standpoint. I've never heard that at all as an argument, and it makes so much sense as to why that should be in schools.
Yeah.
Why do you think that's
not heard as much? Well, I had sex education done by priests, Catholic priests, a Catholic school, and I remember thinking, if you're not playing the game, you can't make the rules, you know. But that's what, I mean, they were priests that gave us sex education.
What would
ours
they
was
know?
Basically called abstinence. They actually didn't talk about it. They talked about, you know, don't do it because
how to not practice
the devil.
Sex at all.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of teachers and students probably didn't think anything about it, but if you're a young queer person at school and you're being taught only about what it means to be in a relationship, sexual relationship with a woman as a male, that's just telling you that to be gay or to be interested in gay sex is something that's other, like it's something that isn't the norm, that's kind of off. So
very important, Matt. We need to do it. We need more diversity in our schools, teaching our children, whether it's people queer, people of color. We need a lot more diversity.
And it's not
going to
affect
country.
Your kids. If your kids are straight, don't worry about them, they'll be fine. They're just going to learn a bit of extra.
Me and Wayne raised three children and we failed as parents. I tell you that all the time. Three children, we failed. Well, they're all straight.
Matt, Wayne, thank you so much for coming in.
Wake Up with Tom and Mikey Thursdays for breakfast on Joy. Tune in to 94.9 in Melbourne. Stream live at joy.org.au or download the Joy app. Find all our podcasts at tomandmikey.com. Subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get podcasts. Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them.
Thanks for listening to another Joy Podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.